Welcome to the fun show.
I'm Kelly Cree.
And I'm Jessica Mullen.
You just heard.
Yes. What did you just hear? Sunlight on Your Skin by Lil Peep and I Love Makonnen.
And today Jessica proposed the idea of talking about Hamilton. What's his last name?
Morris.
But I think really the larger discussion is about drugs.
Let me begin by professing my love for Hamilton Morris. This is not a romantic or sexual love. This is a pure intellectual obsession. Hamilton Morris is so brave.
You should probably explain who he is.
Probably should. Okay, Hamilton Morris is a journalist and scientist and documentary filmmaker. Ooh.
Wow.
Who works for... It's a sign we're on the right track. Hamilton works for Vice magazine and Harper's magazine. And he made the show Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia, which you can watch on HBO or Amazon. Just type in Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia. Really just Hamilton's and you'll find it. And he made a show, which is how we were introduced to him. Actually, it wasn't, but his show was about him traveling to all of these different locations and doing drugs. And not just to get fucked up, but to explore the culture, the pharmacology, the psychoactive effects, and the impact on humanity.
And most of the drugs that he does are naturally occurring, although not all.
Many are psychedelics, and I wouldn't say he prefers plant-based drugs because he's really into synthesizing drugs.
Right. That's the other aspect of the show, drug synthesis, which is very interesting as well. And I think that's what led to another thing that we were talking about before the show, is how Hamilton and his attitude and just the show, the way it's presented, really helped us change our perspective about drugs, even though we were already really open-minded about drugs.
From Hamilton's perspective, drugs aren't bad. I mean, of course, they can have negative effects, but to him, drugs are something that can extend lifespan, something that can help people, and that we can use science to cure diseases and help people with mental health issues. And his big thing is that when the United States schedules drugs into Schedule 1, which means it has no medical value and you can't research it or obtain it in any way, when drugs are put in Schedule 1, that just ends the research on them. And who knows, maybe meth, actually meth is not Schedule 1, but maybe LSD has some kind of application that can cure AIDS. Who knows? We don't know because we can't research it because it's been scheduled. And he likes to talk about how important it is that we research drugs and see how they can help us instead of just thinking that they're bad.
And, continuing to ask, why are these plants here? You know, no one knows. It's so mysterious that there's just all these plants that you can take and that can totally change your, physiology, really. And although I guess he doesn't explore that aspect of it in very much depth, he does still acknowledge the mysterious aspect of it and that it deserves to be held up and not, kept away from people. He talks about how...
Yes, go on. I'm sorry. I will mute it.
She doesn't mute it the first time.
I didn't think they'd text again.
Anyway, I lost my train of thought.
I'm really sorry.
How absurd it is that you that there are plants that are illegal.
There are plants that are illegal. Jeez, guys, we gotta do something. And let's see. One really cool thing about Hamilton is he explores a lot of psychedelics, and one of his biggest influences is Alexander Shulgin, who was a chemist who rediscovered MDMA and who synthesized all of these phenylethamines and tryptamines, and is basically wrote a book, two books about how to synthesize a lot of the drugs that we have in society now, a lot of the illicit drugs. And one cool thing about Hamilton is he explores these psychedelics and research. He calls himself a scientist, and he does the research on himself, which is, I never even thought about how taking drugs can be considered doing research on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes psychedelics, so many psychedelics, all the psychedelics, and yet he is still an atheist. And he thinks that just because we don't understand the natural world doesn't mean that it has a mystical component. And while I don't necessarily agree, I haven't met many people who do a ton of psychedelics and are atheists. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think it is, because it does help him take a more scientific approach to it, I guess. Which is good. I mean, it is nice. I mean, I don't know how anyone could deny that there's, an unseen, anyway.
I mean, it's a matter of opinion, and he has said that on I guess it was on the 5-MeO-DMT that he did have a feeling that he knew there was a God, but that feeling only lasted 9 days or so and it went away and he's an atheist again. But regardless, I like the perspective that just because we don't understand it or we can't see it doesn't mean it can't be explained by science. And he talks a lot about the molecular composition of these drugs and how they affect your brain receptors and how it all works. And he demystifies a lot of cultural traditions around psychedelics like San Pedro or peyote. And while it's nice that those cultures have their explanations, like how salvia is actually the Virgin Mary coming back to talk to us, Hamilton likes to look at the science about what's going on in the brain when you think that.
He also, I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say, crocodile was just eating people's skin because it was a fucked up heroin that people made that they didn't clean.
Yeah, it's not like some horrible drug that is so mysterious and crocodile, it's horrible, it's so addictive and it's gonna eat your skin away.
What is it?
But the thing was that people just were making heroin and then not taking out the chemicals that they used to make it, like not cleaning the final solution, so they just left that stuff in. I can't remember what the chemical was, but then they inject the unclean heroin and there you go. Your skin is eaten away. It was like, it had something to do with bees. Like, I don't remember. So we watched Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia and he's just so brilliant. He's like 30 years old, maybe 29. And yet he has all of these TV shows that he's done and all this writing. And so now I listen to every single podcast he's ever been on, like the Joe Rogan show. And there's this one called Love Alexi that he was on where she asked him about his dating life and stuff. Most people just ask him about drugs, but she's like, are you bisexual? He said no. But what was I gonna say?
I don't know. I mean, I was kind of hoping this episode could be about more than just like fan.
Oh man, it drives me crazy that I'm such a fan, because every time I like tweet at him, I push him away and I become more of a fan.
You keep tweeting him?
No, I like tweeted him twice to his handle, but now when I talk about him on Twitter, I don't add him so he doesn't get it. I'm such a fan, it's so awkward. But oh yeah, what I wanted to say is she asked him if he ever gets depressed, and I just think it's so fascinating to ask atheists who are like scientists with no emotions what, like, I like to know about their emotional lives. And he's like, yeah, I get depressed about not being productive enough. I get depressed about not making all the things I know I need to make. I'm like, damn, that's what you get depressed about. Not that life is pointless. I was about to say,
don't you get depressed about the same things?
What, everyone? Oh, me?
Well, you, but yeah, I mean, most people get depressed about that kind of shit.
About not being productive. I guess I get depressed about, like, hating myself and thinking other people hate me and also death. But he is, like, driven by this need to help people, and he thinks his research can really help people. But, like, why does it matter, dude, if there's no afterlife?
I see. I get it. If it's all so pointless, then why?
Why are you trying to help?
Right. Which really is more of a spiritual perspective, I guess. Or it's both. If you're an atheist, nothing matters, which is pretty much what spirituality teaches you.
True. True.
It's like, so either way, it's the same. It's that nothing matters and it's all pointless.
Yet, I think he's one of those, like, something-something humanist people who don't necessarily believe in God or any kind of morality or religion, but they still believe in helping other people because suffering sucks right now. And that's something that you can help other people suffer less while they're here pointlessly. Oh my God. Okay. Tangent.
We should take a break.
I just have one question. Think okay. about this and then we can answer it when we get back.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm thinking about this apocalypse, this end of time mass extinction event.
They keep moving it up.
I know. Now it's in like 12 years.
Jeez. But wasn't it going to be in 2000?
Well, it's just fun to think about, I think. I mean, oh, can you imagine the relief we'd feel when we're dead? But I was going to ask, like, okay, so we're running out of food and water or whatever happens in this mass extinction because of the environment. Would you want to, like, kill yourself to get out of it? Or would you let yourself slowly die due to the elements or whatever, starvation, dehydration? And if so, if you would want to kill yourself instead of suffering through that slow death, how would you do it?
I wouldn't suffer. I would just sit there and watch it. Probably live through it. Probably be the only person to live.
Because you wouldn't, like, freak out.
I mean, I definitely would want to watch it. I don't think I would kill myself because you never know. You could live.
Right. Something could happen. Elon could take us to Mars real quick. Be right back.
Goldfish. And we're back with Jessica saying if she would kill herself in an apocalypse.
I guess you're right. I probably wouldn't kill myself. But I was thinking about it earlier, and I was like, I don't have a gun. I don't have any drugs that could kill me. So I'd probably go drown in the lake.
Don't you think it'd be hard? You would just, like, tie cement blocks to your feet?
No, I'd just go swim out as far as I could and let go.
Damn. I just don't think I could do that. I'd be like, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, I don't know. I just think sometimes that thinking about suicide helps me stay alive more, because I feel like if I have an out, it's easier to stay alive.
Damn.
I've always been like that since high school, and I don't think it is bad to talk about suicide. I'm not advocating for suicide. I'm just curious about suicide. And I've always felt like as long as I could kill myself, I can live another day. Because, you know, I don't have to keep taking it. Like, taking my life what? Is so hard. Like,
What is it that you can barely get through your life? I mean, sorry.
It's not like that now.
Is there something that you can barely get through your life without?
It's not like that now. In high school, I had a hard time. But I think it was mostly because I was sleep deprived by my own volition. Whoa, deja vu. Weird. But now, this is so deja vu. Weird. We've done this episode before. Whoa, and we've had this conversation where we've said we've done this episode before. I'm breaking the matrix talking about suicide. Let's talk about Hamilton. He keeps me alive. When I go to do my work and I go listen to Hamilton, I feel so much better about life, because at least I know there's one other person who's thinking about life rationally and in a way I agree about. And I feel like it's really hard to find influential voices who are intelligent enough to sway policy. And this kid, I think he's gonna have an impact. Oh my god, he's so smart. Woo! Fanning out constantly. I haven't felt this way about a public figure in years. I mean, like, you know, I fell in love with Lil Peep, but I wasn't like, oh, Lil Peep's gonna change the way that our drug policy is. I don't think he would have changed it for the better. And yet, you guys, you gotta make light of death. You can't take it too seriously, because it's gonna happen to all of us. It's not serious.
But I think the main message of this, I was asking you why you want to record a whole episode about Hamilton, and you said that because his views can help empower people and not be afraid to take acid or afraid to take shrooms or maybe even do some MDMA or some coke or whatever.
Anything. Do it all.
So I think that's like the main thing I thought that we could help convey that message too. Like, spread that message. Like, drugs are good. They're okay. There's nothing wrong or bad inherently about them. Like, especially the ones that make you feel good.
That reminded me of another thing Hamilton brought up that I didn't even think about. You know what the number that the Schedule 1 drugs are? The ones that we aren't allowed to research or possess at all? They are scheduled because they bring people pleasure. And it's only the pleasurable euphoria-producing drugs that get scheduled. Strychnine isn't scheduled. Cyanide isn't scheduled. Poisons are not scheduled, but the ones that bring pleasure are. And what does that say about our society? That we came from the Puritans who think that it's bad to enjoy life because they think that we were born with original sin and we need to repent and feel bad our whole lives. And fuck that. Hate it.
You weren't born bad and you deserve to feel good.
And if drugs bring you pleasure, so be it.
This has been another really fun episode of The Fun Show. I'm Kelly Cree.
I'm Jessica Mullen, and this is lucidvibradio.com. You can also listen to this on schooloflifedesign.com/thefunshow, or maybe it's /category the fun show. I don't know. It's in the nav. And also, we're about to play Dive Into the Mystic by Satori and some band spelled R-Q-U-E. R-Q?
Thank you so much for listening. Join us again some other Thursday.
See you next Thursday.